Welcome to the October 10th, 2010, 11 o'clock worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is by the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled 10-10-10. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now, for our worship service.
Good morning. Good morning. How's everybody this morning? Let's try that again. How is everybody this morning? Take just a second and greet the people right around you. Go. Are you wondering if I sound better this morning? Do I sound better? Because Miss Avery Patterson is back on the soundboard. I'm excited about that. Today's sound is going to be even better than before. So thank you, Avery, for being back there. We are glad that you are here. It is a day to put our gifts in action. Avery's doing it on the soundboard. Many of us are going to do it in right after church today. It is Faith in Action Sunday. And we're excited about what's going to happen throughout our city, what God's going to do. And so we welcome you to worship as we begin Faith in Action Sunday. A few announcements we'd like to make. The way we find out who is in worship today, we have pew pads. We invite members and guests to fill this pew pad out. If you're on the inside aisle of the pew, if you could get that started, fill it out so everybody has put your name. Check the appropriate boxes, send it down so everybody has a chance to fill that out, send it back to where it got started once it reaches that end. We do ask, once it gets back to the first person, if you could tear out the pages that were used this morning, that would help our ushers collect those at the end of the service. A few announcements that we'll make. It is Faith in Action Sunday, and how the schedule is going to run today is right after worship. We will have a covered dish lunch in Smith Hall. We want you to come and be a part of that. And then we'll have some further instructions. Raymond will talk a little bit more about the projects that we'll be doing. We have something for everyone, and we look forward to those projects this afternoon. Reminder to our children, we are having children's celebration today, and that will be during hymn number 611. That's the second hymn this morning. We want all the kids to join us as we go out and to the hall. We'll be right outside of Smith Hall today. Smith Hall is being used for the covered dish lunch, so we're going to be right outside of Smith Hall. If you could make note of that. Parents, that's where you can pick your kids up at the end of the service. Want to, Mary, come talk to us.
Beginning next Sunday, we will start for 6 weeks. I should know this off the top of my head. 6 weeks, the study, 1 month to live. There will be a couple of study groups that we invite you to join. One will be Sunday evenings at 6. The other will be Wednesday nights in the coffee house. Jason will be leading the Sunday night study. Jennifer Allen will be facilitating the Wednesday night study. We would love for you to join us. You do not have to get a book and read ahead. We'll give you some books as you join us in the study next week. And we look forward to seeing you there.
Okay. Several other announcements you'll find listed in your bulletin, upcoming events, as well as opportunities for the week. So lots of things happening, and we hope that you take the opportunity to be a part of those things. I want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. A few moments ago, you put some information down on the pew pads. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. They would like to give you some information. If you're a guest, just lift your hand right where you are, and our ushers will recognize you. They will give you a packet of information that tells you a little bit about the story of College Park. A letter from our pastor is in there as well, and a newsletter. So we're thankful for your presence this day. It is time for us to worship. It is time for us to reflect and to consider what God may be wanting to tell us. Now, worship is about listening. And many times we don't listen very well. I know I don't. But are you ready to hear from God today? He has something he wants to tell us. Let us have ears to hear. Let us worship together. Father, as we consider this morning all that you have done for all of us, we quickly become overwhelmed by your love for us, by your mercy and your grace that is bestowed on us. God, it is overwhelming what you have done for us. Because you made us, you know us intimately, you know us deep to our soul. And so, Father, we come because no one else knows us like you do. And we call you, we beg you to be in this place, to hear us as we worship, to speak to us, to speak life change into us. That's why we're here this morning. May we focus completely on you. In Jesus' name.
Our scripture text this morning comes from the New Testament in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. If you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a there should be a Bible in the pew located close by. Get that out of the way before I read the scripture. From 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. May God add his blessing to the reading and the understanding of his holy word. Can we pray together? Dear Lord, we thank you for the beautiful words of that hymn. We know because we've experienced it that Christ is alive. The tomb is still empty. Christ is with us today. We have felt that this week in different ways. In fact, the only times, Lord, that we haven't felt the presence of your love in our lives is the times that we haven't been paying attention. Christ is alive. We're so thankful for that. We're thankful for what we receive every day as a daily gift, a reason to live, the reason for our salvation and eternal life and our hope in Jesus Christ. The promise of eternal life in your kingdom, the reassurance that everything life is about is not found in this life, that we have promise and a reason to live and a reason to exist and do what we do every day beyond just what this world has to offer. But there's something much bigger, much more important. Christ is alive. Christ is risen. And the same Christ that lives for us today is the one who died on the cross to save our sins and give us this promise of eternal life many years ago. Lord, for this gift, we thank you. It is a reason to live. It is a reason to believe, to have hope, to live in relation with you and communion with you, to dedicate our lives to you, and to see what we can do every day to grow closer to you. Christ is alive. Lord, help us to share that message every day. This gift is too good not to give to other people. Other people may not know. They may not have had the same experience as we have. They may not have been introduced to Christ at an early age. They may not have experienced some of the things that we've been blessed to experience. Help us to share this gift today as we go and serve, tomorrow as we're in the community and at work and in different places. Help us to share this gift. Help us to live in a way that shows Christ is alive, that we know it, that we believe it, and that we live for that. Lord, please work through us. Please turn our attention to the things of your kingdom. Please turn our hearts to the purposes of your ways. Turn our focus to you, Lord, and to serving you and showing every day with every action and every interaction that we have with other people and the way that we use the talents and abilities that you've given us, Christ is alive. Lord, we have so much to celebrate, so much to be thankful for, so much to be encouraged about. We love you. We worship you now. We praise you. And we ask for your blessing and your guidance in our lives today and every day this week as we go and try to share this special, special gift. It is in the name of Christ and with great gratitude that we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the many blessings you've given us, Lord, and we just come here together to praise your name. And Lord, we thank you for the day that we're going to have and spend together, that we're going to help other people, Lord, and we just pray that the things that we do today, Lord, will show your love and shine, that that you will receive the glory, and that we can just be present. Lord, sometimes we come to pray, we bring you long laundry lists of things that we do and things that we want. Sometimes, Lord, we fail to really stop and listen, to be patient, to listen to what you have to say for us. We kind of keep it kind of one-sided, Lord, that we do all the talking and all the requests. But Lord, give us understanding. Give us patience to listen to what you have to say to us, and then help us to put that into action. Father, we thank you for each member here today, and we just thank you for the many blessings again, and just ask now that you'll let us return a portion of that which you've so richly given to us that we can share back with you. These things we ask in your Son's name. Amen. Thank you.
I know we all get those little emails that have different little stories attached to them, and it was a little while back, I'll say probably at least about a year ago, that I got one that was talking about a preschooler test that was given out, and it was just kind of natural life skill type things and what preschoolers knew at that point in their life and their existence. And one of the questions on the test was, where do green beans come from? And one of the little girls replied, aisle number 5. And at least in her experience, that's where green beans are. And I found out in the 9 o'clock service that really is where green beans are, at least at Lowe's or Harris Teeter. You can find green beans on aisle number 5, according to one of the ladies in that service. But what it brought to my mind as I was reading that, it reinforced something my dad has said for years. He said, son, some people think that food just spontaneously generates in cans on the shelf at the grocery store or in the freezer section. They don't understand if you don't have farms, you don't have food. You know, that's one of his things. And as an old county agent, I mean, that's what he would say. I mean, that's exactly what he would say. We grew up in a household where if there was a new hybrid of beans or corn or something like that, he had to try a row of it. To where if somebody asked him, Earl, how's the corn? It's good. It's really blah, blah, blah. And that sounds all fine and good until you realize that our garden was an acre. And so when he said a row of beans, we're talking 250 feet row of beans. And so you had all this crops around us that we worked at. And when I was 12, we moved out to the mountain and we planted Christmas trees. The plan was to let those Christmas trees grow and I would take care of them, and they would be harvested at the time I entered college, and they'd pay for college, which they did. So it was a good plan. And then I shared with you a couple of weeks ago that I worked while I was at Wake Forest at the Mountain Horticultural Crops Research Station, working with the guy who was in charge of soil science. And what we did is we did a lot of things with fertilizer application and soil mixtures and things of that nature. Now, I tell you all that just to let you know that I've grown up around plants all my life, both agriculture and horticultural plants. And the thing that has fascinated me, I mean, from a little tyke, when I would walk along with Dad and put these little seeds in the row, that, you know, you're sitting there and you look at this little bitty seed, and your father's telling you, well, son, that'll grow up to be a plant this, and we'll have to put a trellis in here. And I'm like, no, really? You know, and until you see it work one time, you just can't believe that from that little bitty seed, you're going to get a big plant. And in the case of the redwoods and other trees, a huge plant out of this little bitty seed. And I've read where they're digging these seeds out of glaciers. And they're estimating these seeds are thousands of years old. And then they'll take them and put them in the right conditions and they'll germinate. And they're growing these plants that we've never seen before. And it fascinates me that God's plan is so simple yet so complex. Simple enough to where we can understand it, but so complex that we can't really fathom how something can grow out of that little bitty seed. But that's exactly what he wants from us. He wants to take something that's small, almost tiny, spiritually speaking, and put us in the right circumstances to where we can grow more than we could ever imagine for his glory. To be something that our minds cannot even fathom what he wants to do through us. As a matter of fact, he compared us to plants. You know, we shared a couple of weeks ago that as he left the upper room and went down through the valley, the Kidron Valley, that they stopped there and he compared us to plants. He said, branches more specifically. He said, if you are a branch, you stay connected to the vine. And if you'll stay connected to the vine, which is his spirit, then you will grow and you'll produce fruit. And that just boggles my mind. Not that that takes a whole lot granted, but I mean, it just fascinates me that he can take us and grow us in that regard. And as we looked at today and we looked at the things that will be going on with our faith in action and we looked at the date being 10-10-10 and all of that, and the fact that we've been talking about fruit and growth, and I had to go to an application of fertilizer Because I remember when I was but a wee little tyke, and I was walking with my father, and we're putting this fertilizer down in the garden, and he's telling me, don't rub your eyes, son, it'll burn. And it only takes once doing that. I mean, if you're a quick learner, it only takes once. Most boys, it takes twice. Girls learn once. But you know, I mean, you're spreading the fertilizer there. And he said 10-10-10 is the most common application of fertilizer. And, of course, being a sponge, I'm like, why? Why is that? And he said, well, for a number of reasons. But the main reason is the fact that it's the most even distribution. He says, and you don't have to take a soil sample, send it off to Raleigh, wait on them to get their act together, get back with you to find out what the soil's deficient in. If you just go ahead and put 10, 10, 10 in, you've covered all your bases. I thought, well, that sounds reasonable. So today we're going to talk about fertilizer. 10, 10, 10 on 10, 10, 10. And for those of you that need a little refresher course in fertilizer, fertilizer has three primary ingredients, right? Your head this way. All right, you know what they are in order? The first one is nitrogen. That's good. The second one is phosphorus. That's right, but it's in the form of phosphate. Okay, it's in the form of phosphate, P2O2. That's my chemistry coming out for you. P2O2, phosphate. And then the K is the last one, and that's for potassium. That's right, potassium. And in fertilizer, it's in the form of potash. Okay, now you've had your refresher course. And the numbers, 10, 10, 10, represent by percentage the weight of that particular nutrient in the fertilizer. And so those of you that are left brain people are going, wait a minute, 10 plus 10 plus 10 is not 100%. You're very bright. It is not 100%. The rest of the material that's in the fertilizer is filler. I mean, it's some additional nutrients, things of that nature, some filler stuff to where when it's manufactured, that the nutrients are spread evenly as you spread all that stuff all over your yard or in your garden and that type of thing. Now, understand, and I think you do, I think you know this, that the different nutrients affect plant growth differently. And the formulation that you might select for your garden depends on what you're growing, whether you're putting out roses or whether you're putting out, you know, tomatoes or whatever. So it kind of depends on all that. And in general, we need to note that fruit-bearing plants and plants that have fast growth habit, those that grow very rapidly, they require generally more fertilizer. Note to self. Okay. So now if we understand this principle from nature, we can assume that if we want to bear fruit, that we require fertilizer. We require nourishment. We require something that will help us to grow. So if we go back and look at the formulation of what we have with fertilizer, the first number is nitrogen. And nitrogen, as you probably know, helps plants get grow quickly. I mean, you know, if you put fertilizer that has high nitrogen on your lawn, what's going to happen? You're going to mow a lot. Yeah, who said that? You're going to mow a lot. If you fertilize your lawn, which, you know, I don't, because you'll have to mow the thing more often. But it gives it a nice dark green color, doesn't it? Grows up, it's real pretty, and you mow a lot. All right? But nitrogen is that element that helps the plant from the ground up. It helps that part that you see a lot. You know, that part, the upper part of the plant. And as I thought about that, you know, in our lives as Christians, generally, really all that people see is the part that's visible. We talked a couple weeks ago when we were talking about authentic community. The fact that we play a game here. We put on a show for the most part with people. We don't let them see our true self for fear that they may not love us or they may reject us or something like that. But nitrogen affects that part of the plant that's visible. The plant, us, of what we do, what we say, how we treat other people. It's the visible evidence of who we are. So if nitrogen is for the plants, what would we need for that part of us? For the part of us that's evident. If we want to be good fruit-bearing people, what will we need for that part? Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized for its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes. or grapes from briars. So in other words, we bear fruit based on who we are. And each of us will be recognized by the visible fruit that we produce as we grow. In the past weeks, we've talked about the fact that our growth should be something intentional, right? It's something it's intentionality. We have to pay attention to the facts that of the disciplines, the things that help us to grow. And the things that help me to grow are spending time with God, praying, seeking God's Spirit as I strive to be more like Him. And that's biblical. Galatians 5, verse 16 says, "So I say, live by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature." Live by the Spirit. That's what helps that part of us that's evident. Reading, studying, meditating on God's Word, learning about who He is as He's revealed Himself through Scripture. In Psalm 119, we joked a little bit in 9 o'clock service about the passage I'm going to read here begins in verse 105. Well, now, when you talk about beginning reading in verse 105, you've got a long chapter. And Psalm 119 is a long psalm, but I am going to begin in verse 105. It says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I've not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They're the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end." Keeping God's word close to our heart, learning about who He is, to know God through His Word. And to do that, we have to read it. You can't leave it sitting on the coffee table. And it's noteworthy that in the case of nitrogen leaches from the soil very quickly. So you have to reapply regularly. Take a hint. If we want to grow consistently, the same is true for us. We need to regularly read God's Word, hear God's Word, apply God's Word. That's how we grow. The second number in the analysis of fertilizer is phosphate or phosphorus. And for example, in a bag of 24-8-4, it would be the number 8. And this part of the fertilizer helps with root development. It increases flowering ability and also the bloom size. You know, a lot of the fertilizer companies kind of market high phosphorus fertilizers as bloom boosters, and it works well. It's, you know, because everybody likes the pretty flowers. But primarily what it does is really helps the roots develop. So you would see that in order to get a plant off to a healthy start, if you're putting one out new or if you're planting a garden new, you're recommended to put high phosphate a fertilizer out there. It helps the roots start developing rapidly. So if the roots develop well, then the plant develops well. Have you seen plants that wither and die up because their rootstock is not developing? It happens. It's a very common malady of plants, especially gardens, if you don't have enough phosphate out there. So the things that help us grow at the root of our faith are what? If we want to transfer that over, that principle, what help us grow? What helps us grow at the root of our faith? The Word of God. Applying the Word of God. What else? Prayer. Speaking with God. You remember about 3 weeks ago we talked about coming as is? Remember that? Developing a culture, a kind of a come as you are. And the principle underlying that whole culture development was the fact that God accepts us as is. We cannot possibly earn His grace. We do not possibly deserve His grace. It's something He gives freely to us. And that principle of grace is at the root of our faith. Because if we're constantly trying to earn our way into God's favor, it can't be done. So the foundation of our faith is based on God's love, the fact that he gave his grace so freely to us. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "For it is by grace that you've been saved, through faith. And it's not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Something else that's kind of at the root. Something that helps our roots is the support of community, fellow believers. You know, being there for one another, who love one another unconditionally, just as God loves us unconditionally. You know, that's critical for us to grow, to have a good foundation to grow from. The third number represents the percentage of potassium or potash as it is found in fertilizer. And this particular element is critical for the continuing health of the plant. Kind of an all-around vitamin, if you will, you know. It kind of, especially the second half of the life cycle of fruit and vegetables when the plants are setting flowers and they're bearing fruit. So it's critical for fruit bearers. And that brought me to John chapter 15, verse 4, where Jesus said, "Remain in me. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." What does it mean to remain in Christ? To remain in Him, in His presence, seeking His direction in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever seen people that when they first became believers, they were so on fire for the Lord. I mean, they just gung-ho. And for all practical purposes, it appeared as if they were really, you know, really getting good foundation and really growing. And then all of a sudden it just stops. It's like their growth gets stunted. And maybe that describes you. I don't know. Maybe you feel like I'm just kind of stagnant. I'm not really growing in the Lord. I want to challenge you. You need a shot of fertilizer. You need a little shot of potash. You need to remain in Jesus. It's the presence of seeking who He wants you to be daily. It's an interesting principle with potassium. It doesn't move through the soil very readily. So it needs to be applied near the roots. And that's a good lesson for us. Because if we want to grow, we need to stay as close to God as possible. We need to remain close to other believers. Let me chase a rabbit right quick. Because when we say we need to stay close to fellow believers, it brings up something that's kind of a sore spot with me right now. I've heard, and I know you have too, people say, "Well, you know, I can be a Christian without going to church." And that's true, you can. You can be a Christian and not come to church. But think of what you're missing. You're missing the fellowship, the support, the encouragement. I've visited with families who've lost loved ones that they were very close to them. And I can tell you which ones are involved in church. I mean, you can tell by the way they respond to crises. The ones that are in church and active in church and have a good support group, they come through a lot easier than those. So yeah, you can be a Christian and not come to church, but think of all you're missing. Not only are you missing the fellowship of fellow believers, but you're missing the application of God's gifts to you to be used through the whole body. Because God gives us all different gifts. And He expects us as one body to work together to be His hands and feet. And when you're missing, when you remove yourself from the fellowship of the body, you're taking your gifts away that were intended to be used as part of the body, and you're being selfish with them. So yeah, you can be a Christian and not be in church, but I think that's kind of a selfish act. And in some ways, it's kind of a spiritually arrogant act. That's my own personal conviction. Thank you for letting me chase that rabbit. But it's interesting Because as believers, depending on one another, we draw our strength, but we also can share our weaknesses. Our weaknesses are compensated by others who have gifts that we don't have. So we have the joy of working together. Back to our story. One more thing about potassium. It guards the plant against diseases and aids in drought protection and cold tolerance. And this relates directly to what I just said. Because if we want to be protected in times of crisis, if we want to be protected against maladies, spiritual diseases, things that could get the best of us, one of the best ways to do that is to be involved in the body of Christ. You know, so if we want a flower, if we want to bear fruit, if we want to be protected from disease, if we want protection against extreme conditions that would damage us, we need to understand we were created for community with God and with each other. Amen? Created for community. Ephesians chapter 3, Paul lays this principle out for us. He says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derive its name. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of God's people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know that love, that this love surpasses knowledge." Community with God helps us to learn to know his love and to draw strength from him instead of ourselves. Community with trustworthy believers aids us in our ability to resist temptations and spiritual maladies that could literally destroy us. And just as potash is most effective when applied nearest the roots, so too it's difficult to draw support from God or fellow believers from a distance. I think we get the point there. So assume that we have the right fertilizer and that we apply it optimally, close to the roots and often, then we grow. Then we bear fruit. Then days like today, our Faith in Action Day, are a natural part of who we are and what we do individually and as a whole body, the church, as it was meant to be. And who knows? Maybe the work that we do, the fellowship that we enjoy, our relationships that we have with one another, maybe they're planting seeds. Maybe they're watering seeds that have been planted by others. Maybe they're fertilizing the plant as it's trying to grow. We don't know how God's going to use us. We just have to be obedient. We just have to make ourselves willing and available. And that's my prayer for you this week. Not just today, but this week, that you'll make yourself available for God to use how he would want you to be used. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the blessings of today. We love you. Father, we love you so much because we know that you've given so much for us. Father, we pray that our relationship with you would be the kind where we can be open and honest with you, because you know who we are and how we are. And we pray that we would open our hearts to you, pour out ourselves to you, so that you can heal us, you can touch us, you can help us to grow. Father, we pray that we would remain close to you, that we would seek to walk with you daily, so that you can use us in a way that would just boggle our minds. These things we ask in Jesus' name, amen. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you don't have a personal relationship with him, I'd be glad to share that with you. That's the most important decision you'll make in your life. We're going to stand and sing in just a minute. I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. Or you can call me this week. I'll be glad to talk with you whenever that you'd like to. If you're here this morning and say, "I am a believer, but God and I have been having conversations lately, and I'm just not probably living out my faith the way I should," this is a good starting day to do that. If you'd like to pray where you are, you can certainly do that, or you can come here. The altar will be open, or I'll be glad to speak with you and pray with you. If you're here and you'd like to be a part of this community, it is a wonderful fellowship of believers. And there's many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to share that with you. But whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now.
Lord, I am.
Thank you for being with us in worship this morning. From here, we'll go on into Smith Hall to have a time of fellowship, as well as enjoy some nutrients, if you will, to help us grow. And even if you didn't bring anything, come be with us. I'm sure there'll be plenty for everyone. Come and enjoy the fellowship and lunch in there. Let's have a word of prayer as well as a word of blessing for the food so that we can go directly there. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for the blessings that you give us. Father, we pray that as we go now into a time of fellowship and eating together, that you would bless our fellowship as well as the food. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.